Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Wrestling Uncensored. Tonight on the show, we recap SmackDown. We talk about all the cuts once again in the WWE. And Edge and Johnny North are both back. Two Canadian wrestling icons returning to the scene. Not only did the Rated R Superstar return to SmackDown tonight in the main event, but my main man Johnny North returns after a brief hiatus. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. It's been a while. I mean, it's only been a week, really, when you think about it, but it feels like it's been a very long time. Thankfully, Edge did show up because I thought this episode of SmackDown was very boring until he showed up. So he kind of saved it for me.
Yeah, nice to see Edge back. I think it's been more than a week for you, John. No, were you with me last Friday when we were previewing Hell in a Cell? I don't think so. It's been over a week. Haven't seen you in over a week.
Yeah, it's been a little over a week.
What's the last show we did together?
That's true.
It's been a couple weeks.
Well, no, like the last show we did together was, yeah, I guess more than a week, but still. Like, I really only missed like last Friday.
You also missed the Hell in a Cell post show? Weren't with us?
Well, I couldn't even find the Hell in a Cell post show for a bit. Like, WWE got mad at you, so like.
Yeah. Strange. Very strange. Not sure why. It's up. It's on our YouTube channel. Of course, everybody join us for that. We appreciate everybody that did tune in. I know Johnny did catch it. You can like this video. You can subscribe to the channel so you don't miss anything, even when there's a hockey game. And I understand the Canadians won. I didn't watch the game, but there were fireworks going off around my neighborhood around 11 o'clock last night. So I figured something was positive. And then I checked Twitter, and I saw that they had won. So they're going to the finals now, and I'm sure Johnny North and a lot of the Wrestling Uncensored Nation is very, very excited. Johnny North, I'm sure you'll be missing more time going forward to watch ice hockey instead of professional wrestling, which is, I mean, to me, strange, but to a lot of us, a lot of you and your kind, not strange. So, right? They're in the finals now? And you'll be gone watching the games, not watching wrestling, right? Did you even watch Hell in a Cell?
No, I didn't watch Hell in a Cell. I listen to you, but that's about it. Like, I'm not going to watch Hell in a Cell. Like, I'm not going to watch Raw. Like, I didn't even see, like, I don't have to watch SmackDown from last week because they just recap it anyways, right? So you don't miss anything. So I'm pretty much caught up anyways. That doesn't matter, really. Like, next week's SmackDown, it's fine. I'll miss it. Like, they'll just show it next week anyways. So I miss nothing.
You didn't miss that much. You know, I thought Bianca Belair was pretty good at Hell in a Cell. Raw this week was actually decent. Some surprise finishes, you know?
I caught a bit of the Riddle and McIntyre. I'm like, well, I was surprised that McIntyre lost clean. That's surprising. And that McIntyre-Randy Orton, like, AJ match, that's actually pretty intriguing. I know I think they've done it before, but the stipulation that's added to it, it makes it very intriguing. Like, I want AJ to win. Don't think he's going to win, but it's interesting.
The triple threat.
Yeah, on Raw this week.
Yeah. Drew, Randy, and AJ. I think Randy's going to win. Because
right,
Randy's,
it makes more sense.
Yeah, Randy's involved with Riddle. If you watch the Raw post show that I did on Monday night, you hear my thoughts on that. You know, it just makes more sense. AJ's in a tag right now. He's half of the tag team champions. Why put him in Money in the Bank? Drew
right.
McIntyre, he's in a weird spot where he lost that match at Hell in a Cell to Bobby Lashley, so now he's not allowed to ever challenge Bobby Lashley for the WWE title ever again. But if he wins Money in the Bank, like, you know, what happens there? Because that's a title shot in a briefcase.
Yep.
So it's weird if he is in the match. So Randy really is kind of the only one that makes sense. But, you know, WWE, they do things that don't make sense all the time, so who knows?
I could see Drew winning. It's not impossible.
Yeah, that's it. I could see Drew winning. Yeah, I agree. I'd like for AJ to win. I think it'd be more fun, but I think it's unlikely.
Right. we're both in agreement there, I think, the way we're seeing this match, how it's going to turn out.
Yep. Brian Firth dropping a super chat saying, do you know if Glenn shipped my hat? I don't know. I will check with him, and I will find out for you the next time we're on here, Brian. I will check with Glenn after the show. I don't know. He should have. I know he got Angelo's merch out to him. So, thank you, Brian, by the way. Sorry?
Been a while since I've seen Glenn. Like, it feels like it's been forever since I've seen him.
Yeah, well, we're doing those Wednesday night post-Dynamite shows, but Dynamite hasn't been on Wednesday nights. It's been on Friday nights. Usually we'd be doing a Friday night SmackDown recap Dynamite watch-along, but there's no Dynamite tonight. It's tomorrow. And then it's back to Wednesday, so maybe we'll be on after Dynamite on Wednesday? We'll see. Oh, Doug, well, maybe is still waiting. Glenn. Doug is still waiting for his Glenn W.O. hoodie. I got to talk to Glenn and see what the hell he's doing here. All right, I'm going to get you. I'm going to make sure Glenn is on the ball here. Just saying, the Ringside Report Network is not responsible for Glenn and the Glenn W.O. That's a whole other, that's an offshoot. Like, I'm not, you know, in charge of Glenn and what he does. If you have stuff through Dave or the Ringside Report Network, I can make sure it's going to get on through. But Glenn is, I don't know. I thought pretty reliable. We'll find out where Doug and Brian's stuff is right now. All right, I'll find out.
Well, I'm gonna help give Glenn a bit of an out here. I mean, his gym, now it's a bit more open now. There's a lot more restrictions eased, so.
Oh, come on, don't.
Maybe there's a lot more.
No, don't defend him.
I'm trying to give him an out.
Don't give him an out. Unnecessary out. He is in. He's all the way in. Give him an in. But, yeah, Brian and Doug, I'll make sure that Glenn gets you your stuff. You will get the stuff. You may have to wait, but I will make sure that he gets it to you. I will. That's a guarantee. I will make sure that he does it. I just don't know when. But it'll happen. SmackDown tonight, pretty uneventful. Pretty uneventful.
Except the end.
Yeah, except the end when Edge came back. That was pretty cool. Seems quite clear that it'll be Edge versus Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank now. Right? Kind of funny. Roman is going to have Edge and most likely John Cena in back-to-back pay-per-views. Edge and Cena, of course, had a legendary rivalry in the WWE. Edge, of course, the first ever Mr. Money in the Bank, will be getting a Universal title shot at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I don't think he wins. I think Roman keeps on going. The Roman-Cena rumor for SummerSlam does make a lot of sense to me. Oh, I think we just disappeared there.
We're back.
Were we gone? Yeah. Could you hear me?
I could hear you. I couldn't see you.
Ah.
You're very much Mr. Like That.
Yeah. We're talking about John Cena, right? You can't see me. But I think it'll be Cena versus Roman at SummerSlam. It's a very strong rumor right now, and it makes a lot of sense.
Confirmed his return, though.
Yeah, there you go. So Edge versus Roman, I think Money in the Bank is interesting, kind of cool.
Super chat.
And I think very likely. I think that's a...
There's a lot of new noises here.
Yeah, there's a super chat. That's from Brian Firth from before. I think the production just got updated, so we're... Yeah, the team is on it. Thank you, team. Edge coming back was cool, though. Nice to see Edge back. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman cut that in-ring promo. Heyman going through the list of guys that Roman had defeated. The Fiend, Braun Strowman. Mentioned Braun Strowman's name, even though he's not with the company anymore. He was on that last string of cuts. We'll tell you about the latest. So Strowman, Kevin Owens, Edge, Daniel Bryan, and of course the Mysterios, who got it last week. Heyman then says there's no one left. And, of course, somebody had to show up, and it was Edge, the Rated R superstar. And he attacked Roman, went kind of back and forth with him for a bit. Roman hit a Superman punch and then went for a chair, but then Edge hit the spear. And then Edge went for a chair to set up Concerto, but Jimmy Uso stopped him. And then Edge speared Jimmy Uso through the barricade, and that allowed Roman to escape. So Jimmy Uso playing the role of Jey Uso for some reason. I'm not really sure what's going on with Jimmy and Jey and Roman We'll tackle that in a second. Let's stick with Edge, though. What did you think of him showing up? He hit Roman with a spear. He hit Jimmy Uso with a spear through a barricade. These barricades are made of paper, by the way. Everybody goes through them, like every show. Omos went through one on Monday. Like, you know, it's crazy. But, yeah, I thought it was, I was surprised to see him. I didn't expect Edge tonight on SmackDown. Just poof, here's Edge. So that was cool. Right. Nice little surprise at the end of SmackDown. What he actually did, you know, meh. I wasn't, like, blown away with the actual performance of Edge tonight. Like, the segment was okay. He hit a spear. He brawled a bit with Roman. Like, it wasn't much, but they set up what they had to set up for Money in the Bank, right?
Yeah, well, I'm just happy that he's getting back right in there for the title. Like, you'd think maybe he wouldn't really go for that or something. He'd do something else, kind of. And it seemed like we were going to get heel Edge. It seems like we're back to face Edge now, but with a bit more of a mean streak, which I think is probably the best Edge you can get. So I'm kind of excited for this. Like, I know he's probably not going to win the title, but I think it's still going to be highly entertaining. Like, regardless that he didn't win the title at WrestleMania, it was still one of the better matches we saw at WrestleMania this year. So Edge is usually, like, delivering all his matches. So it's something I think to look forward to at Money in the Bank, because it's hard to look forward to a lot of matches these days. Like, I don't know about you. Like, nothing really excited me tonight on SmackDown.
No. It's hard to even pick a match of the night. You know, I'd say probably Big E versus Apollo. It was the only legitimate wrestling match that we had.
My problem with that is, like, how many we've seen that at least, what, 4 or 5 times already? Like, that's the problem with that match is that they've had much better matches.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but, like, you know, I tweeted, like, we were almost an hour of the way through. I'm watching the show, and I go, hey, it's 8:50, and we've had one match on this show. The show ends at 10. We're almost halfway through this show. We've had one wrestling match. It's not like we have an array of matches to choose from Match of the Night tonight, right? We got Bayley and Seth beating Cesaro and Bianca. Bayley hit her her rose plant. Is that what it's called? The rose plant? I heard Michael Cole call it something like that. Is that what it is? And why? I don't even know.
I'm not 100% sure. I thought they just called like an inverted like Russian leg sweep. I thought that's what they called it, but okay, they gave it that name. It's kind of weird. And
anyways,
whatever.
But like that match was not anything special, and you know, Bayley winning, she hit her finisher on Bianca. Bianca had Bayley up in like a fireman's carry. Can you still say fireman's carry? Fireperson's carry? I don't know. Anyways, so she has her up in a, I'm going to say fireman's carry for now. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. Firefighter's carry? What do we, anyways. So she got her up there, sending her up her finisher. And then Seth Rollins like stumbles into the ring, kind of bumps Bianca, allowing Bayley to get back down to her feet and hit her finisher, 1-2-3. Isn't that a disqualification? Like, Seth interfered in the match. I know he's on Bayley's team, but he, like, I mean, it was kind of a double team. He touched Bianca. The men and the women aren't supposed to interact in the match. I mean, we saw, I don't know if you saw Hell in a Cell, but Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley ended with a real, real wonky disqualification finish where Rhea just kind of grabbed the top of the announce table and like kind of tossed it at Charlotte. And the ref was like, disqualification, this title match is over. And then tonight we have, you know, Seth bumping Bianca and it's fine. And then Bayley wins, her and Seth win.
Yeah, they're pretty much just, like, turning on and off the rules, their imaginary rules, whenever they want, I guess. We've seen this before, though, in mixed tags. Like, remember the Triple H and Stephanie against Ronda and Kurt Angle? Like, there was a lot of, like, Ronda and Triple H, like, hitting each other. More Ronda, obviously, than Triple H, but still, there was a bit more contact there. They let a lot of things slide. So, I mean, it happens in these kind of matches, like, certain situations, and I guess you could say, too, with that bump, that maybe it was a bit of an accident, that he didn't mean to do it like that. He was just trying to help Bayley.
Right. It affected the finish of the match, but, you know, whatever. That was the intention. That's how it was booked. It was what it was. But that's not match of the night. So if Big E and Apollo isn't, what is? Is it Liv Morgan and Carmella? Is it Jimmy Uso and Dolph Ziggler? Because those are the only four matches we had tonight. It was Bayley and Seth against Cesaro and Bianca, Big E beating Apollo Crews after the big ending to qualify for Money in the Bank. Big E is in Money in the Bank, by the way. Hopefully he wins. Liv Morgan beats Carmella again for nothing. This was a precursor to a possible Money in the Bank qualifier because Sonya Deville was in the ring to address somebody, something, and then Carmella showed up and talked about how she's the most beautiful woman in the WWE because that's her new gimmick. She just says that and gets the announcer to say it after she loses matches. Mm-hmm. Happened twice in a row now, 2 weeks in a row. And then Liv Morgan shows up and she's like, well, I beat you last week, Carmella. Sonya Deville, I deserve to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And Carmella's like, you're not a real star. You don't deserve to be in this match. And then they have a match and Liv beats her again. But Liv, this wasn't a Money in the Bank qualifier. This was just a match to prove that Liv deserves to be in a Money in the Bank qualifier. But I'm not even sure if she proved it tonight. I mean, she beat Carmella, you know, but as far as match quality, are you saying Jimmy Uso, Dolph Ziggler is your match of the night? Because that was, I don't know.
Well, just one thing with that Liv and Carmella thing, like you missed the point that the reason why Sonya like announced Carmella is because like she announced her for the Women's Money in the Bank match.
Oh, she did?
Carmella's automatically in it. Yeah, Carmella's automatically in it. That's why she had her come out.
That's how little I'm paying attention to these shitty promos. So she announced Carmella's in it. You're right. Carmella is officially in it. Wait, is Liv Morgan in it too?
Because as of right now, no.
Wikipedia says she is, though. Wikipedia is usually right.
Okay. But on SmackDown, like the show, they didn't say like she's in it for sure. They just said that helped her possibly get a spot. They didn't say for sure she's getting a spot.
Well, Wikipedia says that she is, so I don't know. You know, these things on Twitter sometimes happen, right? Who knows? Maybe there was a backstage promo where Liv was told. 100%. You know? I don't know. According to Wikipedia, the participants in the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match are Liv Morgan, Carmella, Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, and Asuka. And there will be two more to be determined. And then in the men's match, we have Big E qualifying tonight. A bunch of dudes qualified on Raw Monday, including Matt Riddle, John Morrison with a win over Randy Orton, which was surprising, and Rick O'Shea also qualifying for the Money in the Bank ladder match. And that's where you can find all the stuff over at ringsidereport.net. AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and Drew McIntyre getting a match, a triple threat match, where the winner will also qualify for the Money in the Bank ladder match. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will wrestle each other next week in a last man standing where the winner will qualify for a Money in the Bank spot. Kevin and Sami again.
Well, like tonight was a lot of rematches too, was it not? I mean, Big E and Apollo. Mm-hmm. Seen that so many times, and
Liv
like
and Carmella, we saw Bayley, last week.
That too, Bayley, Bianca, Seth, Cesaro. I mean, mixed tag, but still pretty much same matches when you think about it, because they go and face each other.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was just pretty much just rematches tonight, and you had Jimmy Uso, Dolph Ziggler as your main event. Like, quite a weak show if you think about it. I mean, Edge, in my opinion, saved the show. I don't care if people want to complain to me on Twitter that the show's been good for 3 months, whatever. Like, tonight wasn't very good. Edge saved the show.
You talk about rematches, you know, Edge coming back. I mean, rematches from what? Last week, last pay-per-view, which are rematches from the week before, which are rematches from the week before, which are rematches from WrestleMania. Like, we haven't really gone anywhere since WrestleMania. Roman and Edge are still feuding. Cesaro and Seth are still feuding. Bianca's not feuding with Sasha anymore. She's feuding with Bayley. You know, like, we haven't really gone very far since WrestleMania. Nothing has really progressed. Big E, didn't he wrestle Apollo at WrestleMania?
I wrestled him like 4 pay-per-views, if not mistaken.
Yeah, and they're wrestling again tonight. Like, we haven't gone anywhere. Nothing has progressed. It's strictly rematches until SummerSlam, when they give us something fresh. And then after SummerSlam, I expect several rematches of some shit we saw at SummerSlam for the next 3 to 4 months until Survivor Series and so on until the Rumble.
Well, they might change it up a little bit more because I think they're having the draft in September, or is it maybe early October? So maybe we'll get some rematches for a couple of weeks, but it won't last that long, thankfully.
So your match of the night is what? Mine is Big E and Apollo. I thought it was good, and there was something on the line. A Money in the Bank spot. Not Apollo's Intercontinental Championship, which, like, that's been dragging for a long time. That wasn't on the line, just a Money in the Bank spot. That was my match of the night, so you're giving it to Jimmy and Dolph?
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it to them. I thought it was decent for what it was, and I thought that bump that Jimmy took on the outside on the steps, I thought that was pretty good. And I'm like, to me, that was like the only time when I thought through the whole show where I'm like, huh, that was interesting. Everything else was just kind of, you know, okay, but nothing interesting.
Jimmy Uso beats Dolph Ziggler via pinfall after a super kick. I thought the most interesting part of the show was when Seth Rollins went backstage to tell Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville that if Roman Reigns is going to do a State of the Universal Championship address tonight, then he wants to be considered and he wants to be the next challenger for the Universal title. I think that was the biggest thing that happened tonight. Planting the seeds. Planting the seeds for something that I don't think is going to happen until at least September or October, which I like very much. I like when they have these long story arcs and we could really tell a story. And, of course, the Seth Roman story, there's a lot of meat on the bone there. There's a lot to tell in that story, you know? And I think Seth telling Pierce and Deville, I want next. I want the belt. I want Roman Reigns. I think that was pretty big. They're both heels right now. Edge probably gets Roman at Money in the Bank here coming up in July. Cena likely for Roman at SummerSlam in August. So we're talking Seth Roman not really exploring a one-on-one program for the title together until September, October, maybe November. Maybe we even push it further than that. But I was interested by the seeds being planted. I've said it once on the show, and I'll say it again. Roman Reigns is this generation's Hulk Hogan, and Seth Rollins is the Macho Man. That's who these guys are for the WWE right now. They are, you know, two mega stars for the company, guys that they believe are going to be the future of the company for the next 5 to 10 years. They had them pegged in the Shield, and they have, you know, kept them going. Moxley left because he's like, well, there's two shows, and I'm the third man. So if I go to the other show, I could be the top man, you know? Seth and Roman, they're one and two. Roman is one, but Seth is two. Right now they're on the same show, so you figure they're on some sort of collision course. And, John, what you say about a draft makes a lot of sense. Like, they do a match before the draft. They have a screwy finish. And then they disappear again. One guy gets drafted to the other show. And then you could reconnect them in a year or two. Like, this is something that you could do for a while because they're so young. And because you know that the WWE is going to protect these guys going forward. So when they do reconnect, it's going to mean even more. So I think there's a lot going there. They could really blow it up here and do a big feud between Seth and Roman come September, October, or they could kind of do a match or two and tease it and push it. And, you know, if we do The Rock at this year's WrestleMania, you could do Seth and Roman at next year's WrestleMania. Or if Rock's not ready for WrestleMania coming up in 2022, which will be the next year, next Mania, you could do Seth at Mania. Seth versus Roman, I think, would be a massive match. So what we saw tonight planted the seeds for something big. That, to me, was the biggest thing that happened on SmackDown tonight.
Well, I'll still say Edge over Seth Rollins any day, but...
Yes.
I mean...
No, yeah, you know I agree with you on that. I'm just saying, like, Edge is at a certain point in his career, like, he's nearly 50, and you know how these guys are positioned in the company, right? It's not that I'm a super Seth fan. It's just that I recognize who he is for the WWE, right? It is what it is.
No, you're not wrong about that either. It's just that I don't know if I could ever get excited for a Roman versus Seth match. I mean, if Edge never got that one-on-one match with Roman. I mean, this has kind of been building for a while to finally get that Roman versus Edge match. So I think this could be really good.
Of course, Daniel Bryan, plus, the main man, screwed Edge out of that match. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's just that it's going to be in, you know, I think in Texas, if I'm not mistaken, right? So you're actually going to have fans again. Like, it's going to be an amazing atmosphere for that match, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be that's going to be a great match. I can't wait for it. I can't wait to see the fans back. 3 more weeks and the fans are back. Doug Hepburn says, best part tonight was Seth telling Bianca, high five now, because after Bayley knocks you out, you won't be able to. Thought Seth's little promo there was funny. The opening promo with Bianca Belair and then Seth Rollins showing up. Bianca seemed kind of happy to see him at first. And then Seth kind of said some things pro-Bailey that Bianca didn't like so much. Seth also called Cesaro Zazaro again. Did you notice that? He's, like, doing it on purpose now. At first, I thought he was botching the name, but he calls him Zazaro now. Either he's embraced his screw-up of the name, or he wasn't screwing up and he decided to call him something else. I don't know what the Zazaro deal is. I don't know what the origin story is of Seth calling Cesaro Zazaro, but I like it. I like Zazaro. It was odd, though, that he called him that again.
I think he's just trying to be goofy in his promos. Like, I actually think it takes away from Seth Rollins because, like, he's already goofy enough. The fact that he adds in stuff like that, it's hard to actually get excited for him.
It's hard to buy this Seth gimmick. It's just difficult. Because of his association with Becky Lynch, who's like such a serious, badass character, he's hard to buy. I don't think it's just the Becky thing, but it doesn't, like... Because you know there's a more serious character there. There's got to be a more serious guy, somebody... There's just... I don't know what it is about Seth Rollins. Like, I really want to like him because there are matches and there are elements of his game that I do appreciate, but there's just... He's, like, boring. And I feel like there's more to him, you know? Because, like... I mean, I guess it has nothing to do with it, but Becky's so good. Like, how come Seth isn't as good on the mic, you know? I don't get it.
Well,
can she, like, help?
To me, It's just they're totally different kind of characters. And
I know.
Seth, like,
I just don't get
Seth
it, man.
Is trying to be funny. That's the problem. And you know as well as I do, like, WWE and comedy, it doesn't mix very well. So when Seth tries it, it just makes it, it's just cringe to watch. Like, it's really bad. And, like, Seth is already bad enough as it is with his promos. I mean, you say boring, and then you add in, like, bad comedy. It's like the worst mix ever.
Yeah. It's awkward. And that's the thing, like, I want to like him, because I like Becky so much. She's so good, and she obviously loves him, and, you know, he's an athletic guy, and, you know, he's given himself to the wrestling business, and, you know, he's got some matches once in a while where he's really good. It's just every time he picks up a microphone, you know, like, I want to like Seth. Mm-hmm. I just can't. Like, Antoinette is saying, I like Seth, just needs some work. Exactly, but, like... It's been a long time of Seth doing in-ring promos, and they've just not connected. They're just not working. So we could say he needs some work, and maybe over time it'll connect and he'll figure it out, but how long do we wait? And at the same time, WWE pushes this guy like he's the freaking Macho Man, you know? And he's just not. I wish that he was. I wish that Roman was Hogan, but he's not. Of course, for Antoinette, he is. Antoinette loves Roman Reigns. Antoinette is a member. Of course, my man Doug Hepburn is a member as well. Don't forget to become a member of the team. Super chat us like Brian Firth did, who is the super chat leader of the night. Johnny, what else happened here on SmackDown? Not only did Seth and Roman do stuff. Oh, how about the Jimmy Uso thing? So Roman is with Jimmy Uso, and Jimmy's like, I could be my brother for you tonight. I could back you up. My brother says he's not here, and he's not coming back. And Roman's like, mad about it. And he's like, well, what are you going to do? And Jimmy's like, I'm going to back you up, Roman. I'll just do whatever he did. And Roman's like, we'll see if you can do that. And Roman, you know, and then Jimmy beat Dolph, and then he went backstage, and he's like, hey, Roman, that was pretty good, right? I won. And Roman's like, whatever. And he didn't even talk to him, just stone face, and then he walks out to the ring, and Heyman tells Jimmy Uso, like, don't come to the ring with us. You stay back here for some reason. Where's Jey Uso? I don't understand why Jey Uso isn't on TV. What is the story with him staying home? Because he's mad that Roman and Jimmy can't get along, so he's staying home until they figure it out. They seem to be getting along. Like, Jimmy decided at a certain point, like, I'll just fall in line. I don't want to be Roman's bitch, but I'll, you know, be Roman's bitch if I have to. Right? He's like, I'm not going to be like Jay. I'm not going to be Roman's bitch, but Roman, I'll do whatever you want, and I'll take the beatings from Edge if you need me to.
Yeah, it's just pretty much Jimmy now is going to prove himself to Roman. That's what it seems like they're going with. And I guess they don't really need Jay, because if the tag team champions are not going to be on television for a while selling their injuries, you don't really need two Usos on television, right?
I don't know. I guess not. It's just weird that he's not there now. And the story is kind of weak. It's flimsy. Jay's not here. He's not coming back. So when Jay comes back, like, Roman's going to be mad at him? You know what I mean?
Oh, we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure they'll make a big deal out of it. I mean, with everything Roman does, everything's a big deal. So I'm sure that's an episode of SmackDown right there.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be at some point with Jay and Jimmy. Antoinette dropping a super chat. Thank you, Antoinette. She says, I need the Usos to win the titles. Enough crying. I agree. Just get it over with. I mean, the Mysterios are the tag team champions. Like, come on. Give it to the Usos. Let's move along. What are we waiting for? There's no other tag teams on SmackDown. Nobody. It's the Mysterios, the Filthy Dogs, and the Street Profits. Montez had some sort of surgery, so Street Profits won't be back for a couple weeks at least. You figure.
Again, timing, you know, like, I mean, the Mysterios just won the titles and now they've been taken out, right? So I think they're just waiting for the right moment to do that. Possibly SummerSlam, who knows? Remember, SummerSlam, that's probably going to be like a huge, like, you know, 8-hour pay-per-view again, because it's going to be on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Thinking about going.
Really? Wow.
I'm thinking about it. Preliminary stages. Because I'd like to see some cool shit. I just don't know if SummerSlam's going to be cool, you know?
Well, I think the main event, I mean, that's pretty decent. You know, Roman Cena, I mean, that's pretty much as big as you can possibly do right now in WWE, I think.
But if I could go to SummerSlam and go to see a Manny Pacquiao fight on the same night in Vegas, like, that's a fun night. It's a fun little weekend, you know? If the UFC does something around there. Because there's a Pacquiao fight the same night in Vegas. You go to SummerSlam. You go straight to Pacquiao. That's some cool shit. You know, maybe. I'm thinking about it. I'll be double vaxxed by then. So I'll be ready to go. Double vaxxed in 2 weeks, like, clear. More than 2 weeks by then. I'm almost done.
Well, that's good.
I'm almost out of the woods, baby.
I think you have to wait 2 weeks after you get the second shot, but you'll still have enough time.
No, I have more than enough time. I think I'm getting mine August 1st or something.
I think you're actually kind of close, but still, you'll be okay.
Yeah, it's like 20 days. It's the 21st of August, I think. I don't know. I don't really like Vegas. I've been to Vegas before. I went to Vegas to see Brock Lesnar fight Frank Mir the first time. I didn't love Las Vegas, so I probably won't go. But it's tempting. It's tempting because they are going to do some big shit. I like Cena. I like Cena, you know? But do I like him that much? I've seen Cena. You know what I'm saying? I think it's unlikely I go, but there's a 5% chance, all right?
It's still early. You don't know the rest of the card yet, so.
Yeah, that's it. But WWE these days, like, to travel for that, like, I don't know. They're going to have to really stack the card. And apparently they're trying, but, you know, get back to me after Money in the Bank and we'll see.
Well, if they can get Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, I mean, that's a pretty stellar card if they pull that off.
That's not drawing me in. That's not making me buy a ticket. I need more.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's okay, but it's not like the draw that people think it is. Why is it a big draw to you?
Well, just because Brock's, like, style, you know, like the way he goes in there and just, like, destroys people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Bobby, who's kind of like the same kind of thing. So.
He's not, though. Bobby doesn't wrestle like Brock. He doesn't do half the shit that Brock does. And Bobby's matches aren't, like, short and, like, devastating and violent. It's not the same style. They just both have MMA backgrounds. But Brock has a legitimate MMA background, and Bobby Lashley has, like, a B-team MMA background. Bobby Lashley's a badass, but, like, not Brock Lesnar level. I just don't see it as a real dream match.
I don't know, two big heavyweights like that, like, slugging it out? I mean, to me, that sells.
I'd rather see it as a real fight. I really
Of course
would.
You'd rather see it as a real fight, but I mean, but then, you know, as a WWE fight, it's still good.
Yeah, but the thing is, as a real fight, I know exactly what would happen. It would be too easy for Brock. He'd knock Bobby out in like 2 minutes. I think Brock would knock Bobby unconscious. Or he would take him down and just beat the shit out of him for a while. And that's the thing that I see in this fight, is that Bobby is just not on Brock's level, so I don't see it as a dream match. I see it as a made-up thing in pro wrestling. I'm not hyped about it. Roman versus Cena, like, it's all right, but we've kind of seen it before. I don't know how big they could really go for SummerSlam. I really don't know what they could do to make SummerSlam the fucking be-all and end-all pro wrestling show. They just don't have the cards. You know, they don't have it. You know, they have a weak hand.
But it's going to be like in a stadium, is it not, for Vegas? So, like, just that whole, like, kind of, like, open stadium kind of feel, like, that's kind of unique.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the venue. I'm talking about the card itself. I don't give a shit about where it is. I'm talking about what's in the ring. And what's in the ring is, That's why I'm not going. I just convinced myself. I'm not going. What am I talking about? It's ridiculous. It's going to be a shit card. There's nothing I want to see here. Is Daniel Bryan coming back? Probably not. If he is, you know, let's see. Let's see what Daniel Bryan's doing. You know, they do Daniel Bryan Edge one-on-one. Like, maybe you bring me out there. Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I feel like it's going to be Edge Seth Rollins. Like, I don't know about Daniel Bryan, but.
Bleh. Yeah, see? Forget it. I'll go see Daniel Bryan versus Kenny Omega whenever that happens. I'll save my money for that. Shinsuke
Nakamura. It's in Chicago, isn't it?
Oh, Bryan Omega? Are they doing that?
Well, I meant the next pay-per-view for AEW. Is it not in Chicago?
I don't know, but that next pay-per-view better have Miro versus Andrade on it, because that's the fucking match. Oh, shit. That's the match. Fire.
Well, it's not going to happen, but...
Why not? You see what Miro tweeted? Like,
Yeah, I saw and all that, but you know, it's like Kenny said, like, you know, he hasn't won a match yet. He hasn't even wrestled a match. Like, he's not going to get a pay-per-view title match. Maybe if he's lucky, November.
Fantastic. Andrade El Idolo says he deserves an opportunity for the TNT title and the AEW World title. And then Miro tweeted, "This guy must think getting undeserved title shots runs in the family."
It's a good tweet. It's a very good
Oh,
tweet.
he's talking about Charlotte. I think. I don't think he's talking about Andrade's father, who was also a wrestler in Mexico, Brillante. I don't think he's talking about Briante. I think he's talking about Charlotte, right? Unless Miro has some real serious opinions on the career of Andrade's father, Briante, and he thought he got undeserved title shots. I am not an expert on the career of Briante, and I don't know if he had undeserved title shots or not. I think Miro was talking about Andrade's fiance, Charlotte. Or maybe he was talking about his soon-to-be father-in-law, the Nature Boy Ric Flair. I mean, he was a 18-time world
Hello.
champion. Whoa, hello.
Sound
Right?
like Zeb for a second.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Maybe do you think Miro is saying that Ric Flair is the one who got undeserved title shots? Who's Miro talking about?
Oh, yeah, I think he was just talking about the whole Flair family, I think in general, pretty much. Because, yeah, Rick was the booker for a while, and yeah, he pretty much just booked himself to be the champion, so. A lot of truth there, but I don't know.
I think he's
I
talking
think they're
about
just
Charlotte.
friends.
Yeah, just
Yeah, I think
messing
he's talking about
around.
Charlotte too. But they're just friends. They can do that, you know. That's why. But it's fun. It's fun to get people talking.
Yep, gets people talking, and they could play it up like they're not friends and do some good business. Doug Hepburn says maybe Bad Bunny returns for SummerSlam. Tell you what, Bad Bunny versus Daniel Bryan, I am going to Las Vegas for that shit. If that is the
Daniel
match,
Bryan.
baby. Bad Bunny, Daniel Bryan, it will be match of the year. It will be a 5-star classic. It will be the greatest match you've ever seen in your life. You think Bad Bunny versus Miz was good? Miz sucks. Imagine Bad Bunny versus Daniel Bryan. It would be the greatest match in the history of professional wrestling.
Well, two faces. I don't see that happening. Like maybe Bad Bunny and Daniel Bryan against a team, perhaps, but that's about
Versus
it.
Bad Bunny versus The Undertaker.
Honestly, like him against like Chad Gable, if you want to have like a really good match, I think.
That's just boring. I'm talking about money, man. Talking about WWE making money. I'm not talking about some fucking Chad Gable. God. Okay, so Nakamura did a coronation ceremony because he won the crown last week. Rick Boogs was like there playing guitar. Shinsuke was dressed in white. It was odd. I didn't like it at all. I hate this Shinsuke crown stuff. And then what was more weird was Baron Corbin backstage, and he's like, "Oh, what's the point of any of this anymore? I'm just so sad I lost my crown." And he looked like he was about to cry. It's like depressed Corbin now. He's lost the crown and he's got no more reason to live. What did you think
Yeah,
about sad
suicidal. It's
Baron?
kind of weird.
Is he suicidal? What's happening with Baron? He's really taking this loss of the crown to heart. I was shocked at how sad he was. I was like, "What the hell's going on here? What is this stupid shit?" I can't, but what's the point anymore? What's the point of life without a crown? I only got into wrestling so I could wear a crown. This fucking sucks now. What's the point?
Well, I like that he makes it seem that that crown actually means something, you know, like the fact that he was the King of the Ring, that title meant something to him. So it's kind of cool they did that. And like if they do a future King of the Ring tournament,
It's
it
cool.
actually, you would think, yeah.
It's cool. It's cool. It's not cool. Oh, I'm trying to channel. Remember Ric Flair when he did that promo on Carlito? It's cool.
Of course.
Remember that? That's the best promo ever. If you haven't seen that shit, fucking look it up. Ric Flair Carlito promo. It's cool. There's a world championship match, and you're leaving? You're leaving? walking around with girls like that. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. You haven't worked for it. I love, he goes, Flair goes, sometimes I walk around and I don't even know who I am. And the whole world knows who I am. Except me sometimes. We'll talk about depressed. I mean, that was Ric Flair showing emotion.
Well, that's dementia, it sounds like.
No. That was just, you know, he doesn't know who he is. Like, he doesn't know he's the Nature Boy. He thinks he's just some guy, you know, but the whole world knows he's the Nature Boy. But he's the only guy that doesn't know it because he had no confidence at the time. God damn, that's a beautiful promo. It's one of the greatest promos of all time. Ric Flair cutting a promo on Carlito. Shit is fucking classic.
I like the Bleed Like a Virgin one. That was actually really good.
Randy Orton. That one. You are a virgin. And I'm going to do to you what I do. I'm going to make you bleed all night long. And I was like, Jesus Christ, Ric Flair. Live on Raw. Crazy.
Apparently Vince wanted to kill him, too. Like,
yeah, I mean,
that was great.
If that's my company and he said that shit, I would lose my mind. I'd be like, what the fuck did you just say? Some horrific shit. It was horrible. Horrible. I don't think you could find it on WWE Network. That shit's been erased from history. Definitely not on that Peacock version. They erase everything there. But goddamn. Great Flair promos. There's a tear in my eye, the Royal Rumble promo afterwards, you know? Put out that cigarette, you know, Mean Gene. Classic shit. With a tear in my eye. This is the greatest moment of my life. Fucking great.
Oh yeah, they milked that like crazy.
Oh,
but can we
great.
Talk about that mysterious hand that was at Hell in a Cell?
Oh, at Hell in a Cell. I don't know where you were going with that. Mysterious hand. I was like, where have you been the past few nights? Hell in a Cell. Yeah. Mysterious hand. Yeah. I don't even want to talk about it because on the Hell in a Cell post show, I enjoyed that bump so much, you know? Drew McIntyre got chokeslammed off the apron, through a table, and you saw the table crash. You know, the table was broken, so I figured that Drew just took a bump, you know, I mean, through the table, it's padded underneath. They have padded floors. It's not like it's not a mat down there that he can bump on. It was a stiff bump, but I was very happy with it. But then people slowed it down and showed clips. There was a hand that kind of pushed some of the table pieces back out. There was somebody under the ring, and apparently there was some sort of pad, like extra protection for Drew under the table, and they had to pull the pad out, and then some of the table pieces came out, so they had to push the table pieces back, and they got caught briefly on camera. And I knew something was fishy when we didn't actually see Drew go through the table. Like, you didn't see the full impact on the floor. You kind of saw him crash through the table, but not really go all the way through. I knew something was fishy, but I chose to just believe that he took the bump because I was like, it's fucking pro wrestling. Like, they're not really going to pussy around and fucking put a pad underneath a table. Like, I understood when Roman tossed Rey last week into the cell. Like, he powerbombed Rey inside the ring, outside, threw him on the cell. Like, Rey legit, like, hit the cell, but then you didn't see Rey hit the floor, so you assumed there was a pad there for Rey to land on. And even then, I was like, well, he still fucking powerbombed him into, like, fence. It was still rough. And that match, by the way, I don't know if you saw it last week, but it was, like, very good. Very good stuff.
Just the highlights. It seemed all right.
It was good, man. Yeah, so I knew that there was some shadiness there, but I was choosing to believe that there was no shadiness with the Drew McIntyre bump at Hell in a Cell. I wanted to believe, you know, but I knew something was up. It was a pad, right? Some sort of crash pad deal.
Well, it just really goes to show that they're really going to milk this Thunderdome as much as they possibly can. I mean, they can't do those kind of spots when the fans are back, so they're just going to keep using these spots like crazy. And it seems like every show now, they're pretty much doing the whole, like, padded spot now.
Yeah, well, they're doing it as much as they can before they go back on the road in front of the people when they can't do that kind of stuff anymore. You know, they couldn't have pulled that off in front of fans. They're doing it now. And I guess, you know, you want to operate as safely as possible. It is a show. If you can pull it off without getting hurt, good. But you got to be able to pull it off and fool people, but you're not fooling anybody. You know, if it's on your broadcast, I mean, it's one thing if there's fan cams that are catching things, like, all right, different angles, everybody's got a cell phone camera, fine. But when it's on your broadcast, do better. Do better to create the illusion, you know? You don't see a magician show like, you know, the guy disappears, but like you see a hand kind of like helping him in the darkness. You know what I mean? And if you did, you'd be like, well, that's a shitty magician. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. But his back was all fucked up. Like Drew's back was a mess. Like Antoinette said, his back was a mess.
Well, right. Well, when he got hit with the kendo stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The match was pretty good. Just a bad finish. MVP like causing a distraction and then a roll up. Like, come on, man. Put Bobby over strong. What's the problem? And that's the problem with Bobby. But he wasn't put over strong. Like, beat Drew. Beat him. This is the last chance. If you're going to beat him, beat him. Especially if you're going up against Brock next. Like, you got to look strong. I guess they'll use Kofi to make him look strong, which kind of sucks. I'd like Kofi to beat Bobby, to be honest. I think that's going to be the match at Money in the Bank, Kofi-Bobby. I'd like Kofi to beat Bobby, and then all of a sudden, here comes fucking Brock, and then it's Kofi versus Brock at SummerSlam. Honestly, I think that's a bigger match, because we all know what happened last time Kofi had to defend the WWE title against Brock. Brock took it from him in like 8 seconds. Give Kofi the win back. That's how I feel. Truly, that's how I feel. That's how I would do it. I would much rather see that. I know they're not doing that. They think Bobby Brock is this big match, but I would rather give Kofi the win back on Brock at SummerSlam. I think it would be a better moment. More feel good, more fun. Like, is Brock a heel? Is Bobby a heel? How does that even work? You do Brock and Kofi, it's clear. Kofi's the babyface.
Well, they've already done Kofi and Brock twice. You know, we never got Bobby and Brock. So I think you got to do that match, man. Like, I think a lot of people want to see it. You got to give people what they want.
It's a box office. It looks good on a poster, and that's what Vince wants, right? So it is what it is. What are you going to do? I'm just telling you what I would prefer, right? But if the WWE did what I prefer, I think they'd be much better off, but hey, what are you going to do? What else do we have here? A lot of releases, John. Should we get to the releases?
There's like 13 of them or something.
God damn, man. A lot of people got let go. First of all, Ever Rise.
Mm-hmm.
A tag team, formerly 3.0 here in Montreal. Some guys that I think you know pretty well. Guys that
I've wrestled them, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. You've been in the ring with these guys. You know them. They were in NXT. They were getting over. They had their Ever Rise Live show there Saturday mornings, and they were really doing well with that. They had good promos, and they were developing their characters, and I thought that they were headed for big things. I thought that they were going to get a call-up to the main roster. WWE really needs tag teams, and they're a good tag team. Good in the ring, good on the mic. They got a good little look going. Good little heel tag team. Kind of annoying heels that could turn babyface down the road. I don't know what happened. I can't imagine they were costing that much. I was disappointed to see those guys let go. Seemed like good guys. I know you know them. You've wrestled them. You liked them. I liked watching them. I'd seen them here locally. I saw them in NXT and I really liked their work. Disappointed to see those guys let go, but now, you know, they have the platform. They've been seen by more eyeballs, and I'm sure they'll find more work in pro wrestling. I think AEW would be smart to pick them up. I think they'd be a great signing for AEW. Really, over anybody on this list, I would go after Ever Rise over everybody if I were AEW. Not to say there aren't some very talented people that were let go. I just think Ever Rise and AEW would be the best fit. I think Ever Rise, of the people that are let go, make the most sense to be over in AEW. John, Ever-Rise gets released. Are you surprised?
A little bit, because it just felt like you kind of said, I don't know about main roster, but I thought, you know, they were going to actually turn the corner with them at least, because it felt like they, you know, they jobbed them out their first year, and this year they're still kind of jobbing them, but they're slightly getting a push. They're getting more TV time anyways, or they got their own show right on Facebook. So I felt like they were slowly getting something, and I thought eventually they'd turn the corner and get some wins going, but... you know, be shown on NXT at least a little frequently. But sadly, it's not going to happen. And it's really too bad. To me, it just feels like, well, all these releases, it feels like 205. You know, I thought, you know, maybe last year they were going to cut it. I feel like now it's like, for sure, it's going to die now. Because it feels like pretty much they cut the majority of the 205 roster now. And this just goes to show you, like, WWE, there's so much programming. They don't need another hour of programming onto the already, like, 8 hours of programming you get every week.
Is 205 Live a thing?
It is still a thing. I know it's probably been a while since you've watched it. Probably the last one you saw was when they were here in Montreal and they did the taping of it after SmackDown. But it existed.
And it's done now?
It still does exist. It's not done, but I mean, if you get rid of that many people, that pretty much just 205 got. I think the end is very 205 finally.
Who was on 205 Live there? So I guess Ever-Rise, Tony Nese was on 205 Live. He was one of the cruiserweights for a long time. He's been on Raw. He's been on SmackDown. He's been all around. I never quite found a spot in the WWE. Good wrestler. Arya Daivari as well. 205 Live guy. He was let go. Talented guy as well. I could see both those guys showing up in Impact. Makes sense to me. I think doesn't... where does Daivari's brother work? Daivari. Other Daivari. Does he work for WWE now? Is backstage? Or is he in Impact? He bounces around, right?
Yeah. I think he's in WWE. I'm pretty sure I saw him on Raw. But I could be mistaken. Maybe it was another WWE show, but pretty sure he's working WWE right now.
Sean Daivari. He is maybe working for Major League Wrestling. I don't know. But he might be WWE. I don't know. He might be backstage in WWE. But, yeah, so let's see. Who got released here? Ever-Rise gets released, the tag team. Tyler Breeze, Fandango, Tony Nese, Marina Shafir, Arya Daivari, the Bollywood Boys, Killian Dane, Arturo Huas, Tino Sabatelli, August Gray, and Kurt Stallion. Tyler Breeze, kind of a surprise. He's heavily featured on Up, Up, Down, Down. He's got his own Left, Right, Left, Right. Video game channel. He is, you know, a big part of the Up, Up, Down, Down world, and that's a pretty big world, and now that he's not in the WWE, I don't know how that continues with him being a part of that show with Xavier Woods and all the guys and ladies.
Possible to give him a separate contract for that.
I think they should. I think they should just pay him to play video games with other wrestlers. I think he's that useful in that role. And they're making money, so why not? Fandango. But if not, I mean, I can see Tyler Breeze wrestling in Impact and doing good things there. Fandango is interesting. I've always thought Fandango, a.k.a. Johnny Curtis, was super talented, very charismatic. That creepy Curtis gimmick, I was a fan of back in the old NXT before it was like a promotion, back when it was like a weekly thing. He's always been a guy that I thought was really good. They just never found a way or wanted to do anything with him. He's athletic. He's got a tremendous look. He can talk. He'd be a great pickup anywhere. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a big winner out of these releases. If all of a sudden in 2-3 years you're like, God damn, remember when Fandango was like a total jobber? Because now people are like, oh, can you believe Fandango beat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania? Because that actually happened. One-on-one. But maybe in a few years it'll be like, oh yeah, you know, Fandango wrestled Jericho at Mania. Fandango. Go back and watch it. It was pretty good. You know, like that might happen. Fandango might get some respect put on his name or not. I don't know. I hope he does. I could see him in AEW, like, all of a sudden being good. I could see him in New Japan, like, completely changing the style of his work. You know me. I've always been a Johnny Curtis fan. I think he's really good. What a look.
Right. And, well, he was super over at one point. He was one of the most over guys. I remember Montreal. Crazy with people going nuts for him, but for whatever reason they just didn't get completely behind him. I mean, they pushed him, but they didn't completely push him. It felt like he was hot and cold with his pushes, and I felt like if they actually really got behind him, he could have been actually a big star, but they kind of blew it, I think, like maybe 2 or 3 times. And you know, the NXT run was okay with Breeze, but you know, it was just that, it was just okay.
They had a good run on SmackDown as the Fashion Police, that tag team. Like, they were entertaining. They were a good tag team. I don't know why they moved them back to NXT. Though. Yeah, well, that's how the WWE books them. You know, it's not their fault.
Well, NXT, because there's injuries, I think that's why. So yeah. I think it was just to bring them back eventually, but they never really did anything with them afterwards. They got them tag titles, and then nothing really happened after that.
It's too bad. Fandango was super over at a certain point. You know, everybody was doing his dance. There was a night after WrestleMania where everybody was just going crazy for Fandango. And then Stephanie McMahon, like, did the dance and was, like, embracing it. And it immediately became uncool. And he cooled off immediately. Like, he just kind of, it was a slow decline from there.
I think Stephanie there may have been an injury, too. I think she got a concussion, I think, in a big match, and that was not good timing, you know. Timing's everything, too, you know, and just to get that injury at that point, I think, hurt him a bit.
Marina Shafir released as well. Her tag team partner, Jessamine Duke, was released last month. Marina, of course, you know, part of the Ronda Rousey crew, one of Ronda's buddies, Shayna's buddies, you know. She was part of Shayna's crew there at NXT, former MMA fighter, judo player, and also married to Roderick Strong, right?
They did like an angle together, so it was kind of weird that she got released because you thought maybe she was going to be with Roddy in his new group, but no. So for whatever reason, they're really cutting back on pretty much everything.
Roderick Strong is a new group, right? That happened this week?
Yeah, the Diamond Mind, yeah.
And their manager is that Malcolm Bivens guy, right?
I believe so. I wasn't 100% sure of, like, who was everyone, but yeah, I think so.
I love that guy. That guy is money. That guy is tremendous. You follow that guy on Twitter? Oh, man, he's good. That guy, I'm telling you, that guy's got some shit. That guy is money. I want to see more of him. He's got personality. I'm telling you, this guy's going to be big. Malcolm Bivens is going to be a big manager. I'm excited for this group just because this manager is like getting some play. He's good. Anyways, Bollywood Boys, you remember them? They were Jinder Mahal's buddies, some guys from British Columbia. They got released, unfortunately. You know, they were big bumpers, took some incredible bumps for Jinder during his WWE title run. And they got released, you know? They weren't doing much with them, but like you said, 205 Live guys, you know? A lot of people they weren't doing much with. Killian Dane, who I think is married or something to Nikki Cross. Big dude, big Scottish man. He got released. I could see him in New Japan doing well.
Yeah. Oh, again, like you said, Impact. You know, he could actually go to a lot of different places. Ring of Honor. Like,
yeah.
Really, it's up to him. You know, he could do a lot, I think.
Yeah, I think any wrestling company, maybe even AEW too. Arturo Huas. He was on Raw Underground, which, you know, we never forget right. about Raw Underground. Of course, the legendary Dabba Kato still running strong. You saw him on SmackDown tonight as Commander Aziz. So, you know, I was expecting huge things out of Arturo Huas and everybody else who ever appeared on Raw Underground, that brilliant experiment from WWE. Just fantastic. Great stuff. Great to a couple months there on Raw. Wasn't the launching pad they thought of for Arturo Huas. Raw Underground. Didn't launch him into a star. I really don't know shit about him other than he was on Raw Underground, which was still, if you can't detect the sarcasm, one of the dumbest fucking things I've ever done.
Oh, I don't know. I remember there was, what, crocodiles in a dumpster or something? That was pretty bad, too.
Oh, yeah, that was bad, too. Kind of around the same time with the Primetime Players. No, sorry, the Street Profits. Whoops. And the Viking Raiders. Sorry, it's the same gimmick, you know? Arturo Huas, whatever. I don't really know who he is. Tino Sabatelli, I know that he was with the company, and then he was released, and then he got brought back, and then he was released again. I don't know much about him other than he's like a big jacked fella. He was on... they did some sort of documentary about, like, young up-and-comers in NXT, and he was featured in it. I think he dated Mandy Rose in real life for a bit, maybe still. I don't know. I think he's had sex with Mandy Rose, so that's basically his claim to fame, I think, at this point. He's been released. Can't tell you much about him. I think he used to play NFL football, maybe. God bless.
There was a rumor that he was, like, a spy for WWE when he wrestled in AEW.
Right. But he wasn't, right?
Oh, I don't know. And I didn't care too much to look it up. It's just when you see the people released, that's pretty much all the information they have on the guy because there's not really much to him besides that Manny Rose thing that you just said before.
That's right. See, if you look on Wikipedia, his personal life, Piscitelli, that's his real name. His real name is... Sabatino Sabi Piscitelli, also known as Tino Sabatelli. Personal life on Wikipedia, it says he's of Italian descent. He has a sister named Sabrina and a brother named Sean, who's an independent wrestler as well, who performs under the name Sean Swag. And also, Sabatelli was in a relationship with fellow professional wrestler Amanda Sacamano, who's also the daughter of famous Kramer friend Bob Sacamano, who's better known by the ring name of Mandy Rose. Did you know that Amanda Sacamano is actually Bob Sacamano's daughter? Little known fact. Not many people know that. That's a Wrestling Uncensored exclusive. You know Kramer's friend Bob Sacamano?
No, Mandy, I forgot about him, actually.
Amanda Sacamano's dad. You don't remember when Kramer used to always reference his friend Bob Sacamano? You don't know? You don't know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember that. Like, again, you know, Seinfeld's been a while. I know
George needs like a replacement sable hat, so he loses the hat at that woman's apartment, so he has to go get another hat, and Kramer gets him a hat from Bob Sacamano, but it's like a piece of garbage hat. And I think it was because Jerry was talking to him. I think that's the same episode where Jerry's sleeping at Kramer's place. And, you know, he's acting like Kramer because of the Kenny Rogers chicken. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So yeah, I remember that now. Okay.
So Jerry comes in to his own apartment, and he's talking to Elaine and George, and he's like, you know my friend Bob Sacamano? And he's there like, I thought he was Kramer's friend. He's like, yeah, but he called about 3 a.m. We just got to talking, and he starts telling him about things. I don't know. It's good stuff. Bob Sacamano, man. Classic referenced Seinfeld character that you never actually see, but he's like Kramer's best friend. Bob Sacamano, one of his best friends, Newman, of course, Jerry, and then Bob Sacamano, I'd say, would be in the mix. And every time I see Mandy Rose's real name, Amanda Sacamano, I think, God damn. Real people named Sacamano? If she's related to a Robert Sacamano, like, that's good enough for me. Imagine if your name was Bob Sacamano. Oh, shit. People would think you're made up. I would think you're made up. Like, I would love to meet a guy named Bob Sacamano just so I could tell people that I have a friend named Bob Sacamano. You know what I mean? All right. That's enough of me.
It's nice that you live in Seinfeld after all these years.
That was a great show. It's on reruns all the time. I was watching TV today. It was on. I watched a bit of it. Fantastic. I love Seinfeld. It's one of the best shows ever. It's one of my favorites. Classic shit. I know Seinfeld inside and out, you know? It's one of those things. I don't like watching new TV, but I'll watch Seinfeld. So people got released from WWE. I don't know who August Gray and Kurt Stallion are. I have no idea.
If I remember correctly, I think they both wrestled in Evolve, I believe.
Okay.
So they were kind of like the guys they just signed over because Evolve no longer exists. So they moved them over to 205 to help like boost up that roster. And now they are destroying that roster.
Why is Killer Cross, the NXT champion, appearing on a main event too?
Well, him, I think Bronson Reed, the NXT North American champion, he also had a match. You know, I think it's a great idea, actually, just, you know, test them on the main roster in a sense, or just test them against the guys, see what they're like. Because, like, Vince probably doesn't watch NXT all the time, so just to give them an idea of, like, what they're like.
But it's like a televised match on main event? I haven't seen it. I just heard they were wrestling on main event, and I was like, that seems odd.
Well, I think it's an interesting idea for a tryout, you know, and get people to watch it, because I'm sure people would be interested to watch it, actually. A show that I'm sure many people don't really care to watch, but if you put the NXT champion, the NXT North American champion on the show against guys that are actually on the roster, you know, it caught your attention, so it's not a bad idea. What's the Super Chat this time?
That's a good point. That is a good point. Harold Schneider drops a super chat. He has a question. He says, what's the future of 205 and NXT / NXT UK? I think they're still going. For now, right?
The NXT, yeah. NXT UK, yes. 205, it's still going, but you know, it's a slow death here.
NXT UK, like, I'm not sure who's watching that. When's the last time you saw anything they did?
I heard something about they have a brand new women's champion. That's pretty much all I know about.
They do.
What's her name? A long-reign champion finally lost.
Kylie Ray,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I know her. They had Piper Niven on Raw, and people were acting like no one had ever seen her before. She's been on NXT UK. Not even the Raw commentators watch NXT UK. Of course, Piper Niven's name now, Doudrop. One of my favorite new names in wrestling. Doudrop.
I don't know. Isn't Doudrop better than Piper Niven? Like, Piper Niven doesn't sound like that good of a name, to be honest. Like,
I like Doudrop. I mean, it's kind of goofy, but like, I kind of like it.
I think it's better than Piper Niven. Like, Piper Niven is just kind of... okay, whatever. It doesn't really add anything. Like, Doudrop, I mean, it's like, you know, you just kind of raise an eyebrow to that, and it's like, what's that, you know? And like, I mean, she's got something. You know, she's different. She, to me, she stands out to everyone else on the roster, so I have a name, too, that stands out.
Yeah, I guess. It's just weird that her and Eva Marie are already having problems, in case you missed Raw. If you missed Raw, you can watch my recap. I'm sure you watched my recap, as everybody else did. If you're watching hockey and you're missing wrestling, don't worry. I am here for you. I saw Franco before asking me if I'm going to jump on the Habs bandwagon. No, I don't watch hockey. And even when they win, I still don't watch hockey because I'm not really interested. So I will keep watching wrestling for you. You can watch hockey. And the beautiful part about YouTube is that you don't even have to watch us live. You can watch us whenever you want. So you could watch hockey, and then when you're done, you can watch me on YouTube recap all the wrestling. Because I'm here no matter what. You will never see me miss anything for, like, I'm not missing wrestling for anything. And I was thinking about this, John, when you were missing a couple of the shows. And I totally understand, like, you want to take as many nights off as you want. Like, it's you can do it. You know, you're a big hockey fan. This is a big deal for you. I get it. But I was thinking about it, and I was wondering, like, would I watch instead of wrestling? What program could take me away from the show and watching wrestling or MMA? And I realized there is nothing. Because for me, at the end of everything, it's MMA and pro wrestling. There's nothing bigger. There's nothing better. There's nothing I like more. It's a tough one. Like, if the Yankees were in the World Series and it was, like, a Game 7, I'd still probably do the show, though. I'd still probably watch SmackDown. I'd have the Yankee game on in picture-in-picture and stuff. Like, I don't think there's anything that takes me away from pro wrestling or MMA. That's just me. Like, I am fundamentally down with combat sports as the only thing. Like, if that was it, I'm good. I don't need hockey. I don't need basketball. I don't need baseball. I don't need TV. I don't need anything. But pro wrestling and MMA. And that's why I'm here for you on the Ringside Report Network. That's what we do right here. We don't miss shit. So if you're watching hockey, we're here for you. I'm watching all the wrestling. I'll be watching the wrestling on Monday night, Monday Night Raw. I'll be here right after Raw to talk Monday Night Raw with you. And I'll be here next Friday night after SmackDown to talk about SmackDown with you. I will not be here tomorrow night after Dynamite because, like, AEW needs to get their shit together. Because these Dynamites that have been on Friday nights have been fucking bad. Like, I don't know how else to put it. AEW over the past month has been shit. Like, it's been as bad as WWE. So they need to get their shit together if they want me to pay more attention. I'm not doing a special fucking show on a Saturday night just to cover a fucking episode of Dynamite. That's going to suck. Kenny's going to wrestle Jungle Boy for the title. Jungle Boy's obviously not going to win the title. Kenny will win. Hopefully the match is good. You know, we'll see. Probably will be because Kenny's great. Jungle Boy's all right. I don't think he's ready for this match. I really don't see the point, but hey, it's what they're doing. It's fucking filler until they go back to Wednesday nights is what it is. When's the NBA over? Goddamn, pal. All this other shit, basketball, hockey, getting in the way of my professional fucking wrestling. Get the shit out of my way.
It's surprising.
End it. End it all.
I caught Dynamite because I can watch it on whatever I want pretty much. So I saw it and I'm like, oh, this actually wasn't that bad because, like, you know, we've been doing the watch along, so it's been hard to, like, kind of really pay attention to it. But, like, when I actually got to pay attention to it, I was like, man, this wasn't a bad of a show. Like, I actually enjoyed Brock Anderson, his debut match. Like, that was actually pretty good.
But
for his first match, like, that's solid stuff.
Compare these episodes of Dynamite to the best episodes of Dynamite. You know?
Well, it's like a little when unfair. They
do,
I mean,
when they do like a special episode of Dynamite, you know, which they're doing like all of July. All of July, they're coming back like boom, 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 boom. Big like special Dynamite, you know, every Fight for the Fallen, what Fighter Fest, all sorts of shit that they're doing coming up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to come back with a vengeance, but like, you know, these shows are not those shows. You know, some Dynamites feel like pay-per-views. These past few episodes of Dynamite have felt like episodes of Dark, you know? Slightly better episodes of Dark. It's not cutting the mustard.
Well, again, to the,
you know,
the,
it.
The
it's
atmosphere.
Not, it's, yeah, the atmosphere, but like, come on, man. Like, the show itself hasn't been up to par.
Well, they aren't really progressing the storylines. That's disappointing, but again, some of the action has been kind of decent. Like I'm liking that they're actually giving guys like opportunities here,
mm-hmm.
Different guys. You know, like again that Brock match. I actually want to see him wrestle more after that match.
Yeah, I mean It's not that it's, you know, bad wrestling and the company's shit and it's all bad, but it, like you said, they're not progressing anything. It feels like filler. Right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to watch filler. I'm not going to do a post show for some filler. Give me some real shit and then, you know, we'll get excited again. Franco wants to know if you're going to watch the Italy game tomorrow. Johnny, round of 16 in the Euro Cup of soccer begins tomorrow. Italy plays Austria tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. I will definitely be watching that. I am interested in that game for sure. I am definitely interested and definitely rooting against Italy as I always do because I'm still holding a grudge for when they beat us in the World Cup like 15, 16 years ago at this point. I'm still mad. And I'll always be mad. I love my Italian friends. Johnny North is Italian. Of course, AJ is Italian. I love Italians. I got a lot of Italian friends. And it's all playful, kind of joking around. But, yeah, I'm rooting against Italy, and I'm rooting for Austria. I've got some Austrian blood in me. I've got some Austrian heritage, Austro-Hungarian blood there. So, yeah. I'm going for Austria. I got no Italian in me. So go Austria. I hope they beat Italy. Sorry, Franco, and all my Italian friends, Antoinette. You know, it's all in good fun. I'm joking around, but I do legitimately root against Italy because of that guy and what he said to Zidane. That shit was not cool. Uncool guy. Materazzi or whatever his name was. That motherfucker saying that shit to Zidane. How could he? Zidane headbutted him. He should have headbutted him in the face instead of the chest. Should have broken his fucking face. That motherfucker. That piece of shit. You see how mad I'm getting? Still fresh. The wounds are still fresh. So you can see why I root against Italy. Oh, motherfuckers. Go Austria. Denmark and Wales play at noon tomorrow. I'll be watching that as well. Johnny, you going to be watching the soccer tomorrow?
Well, it's only Austria. Like, Italy, unless there's like terrible, like, you know, it just goes all to hell that game. Like, Italy should easily win that game, I think. So it's not really that big of a point. Like,
you never know.
You're right. You never know. But like the way Italy's looking right now, like, Italy is definitely the best team right now. Like, I was gonna say France, but after that game against Portugal, like, France has some problems, and I think you'll even admit that.
France often stumbles through the group stage. It takes them a little bit to get going, but once they get going, watch the fuck out. This is not unusual for France. And it's not like they had an easy run. They played Germany, Hungary, and Portugal. And they still won their group. They beat Germany. They had a draw with Portugal and a draw with Hungary. Portugal lost to Germany 4-2. France beat Germany 1-0. So you could say that France kind of, you know, didn't have a great show, but France had a 2-2 draw with Portugal, and two of those goals, both of Portugal's goals, were on penalties. They didn't score real goals on France. They scored penalties. So as long as France tightens up that defense, Portugal's tough to play. Portugal beat France in the Euro Cup final last time, last Euro. And France didn't need to win. They needed nothing. They could have lost and still moved on to the next round. So that game, like, you could say you're not impressed, but the game didn't really mean anything. Once they beat Germany and then Germany beat Portugal in the next game and they had a draw with Hungary, like, it was a wrap. They had already moved on. This shit was over. So the Portugal game didn't really mean much. I still have all my hopes behind France, as I always do. Allez les bleus! I've got a lot of French blood in me as well. A lot. A lot. And France plays Switzerland Monday at 3 p.m. That's the game for me. That's the game I'm watching. I'm hyped about that. Very hyped for Monday's game. France-Switzerland. France should beat Switzerland. And then I think we'll probably play Spain. Or we'll play the winner of Croatia and Spain. And then if we win that, we'll probably end up playing Italy in the semifinals. I think it'll be France-Italy semifinals, and that'll be fucking huge. And I will not talk to AJ for like a month if Italy wins. It'll just be unbearable. I won't be able to handle him.
Well, you didn't have to talk to him this week, right? So he had a nice vacation. So
I still talk to him. We talk all the time. I talk to AJ like every day.
Oh, well. That'll be interesting then if they face Italy.
Oh, boy. The trash talk will be out of control. Out of control. So very much hope that France beats Switzerland on Monday, and then we can breathe easy until the next game. These France games are quite stressful for me. Quite stressful to watch. But I love it. The victory is so sweet. So sweet.
It'll get rough because now it's pretty much, it's always overtime now too. So that's what's really going to be rough. Like, I can see a lot of it going to the shootout. So you better hope that they're good at the shootout.
Well, that's it. You know, once it goes to a draw, you know, it could go to penalties, and then who knows what happens. We got some good shooters, though, you know? We got Benzema. We've got Giroud. We've got Griezmann. We've got Mbappe. We've got Pogba. Like, the team is fucking good. They are good. World Cup champions. Don't forget, defending World Cup champions. So I'm pretty confident with France, but it's a crazy soccer tournament, and that's what's part of the fun in the Euro. Anything can happen. You never fucking know. I remember one year when Greece won, and people were like, Greece won? What the fuck? I mean, Greece isn't even in it this year. You know what I mean? They didn't even qualify. They are not a powerhouse, and they won one time. That was weird, right?
Well, it's crazy. Canada might actually qualify for the World Cup, so that's really interesting if that happens.
Was it 2004? It was 2004 that Greece won, right? I'm sure my man Angelo was hyped about that. Huh?
Didn't they host it too as well?
Yes, they hosted and they beat Portugal in the finals.
Wow.
Which is crazy. They beat France in the quarterfinals, then beat the Czech Republic, and then beat Portugal to win the Euro in 2004. And I remember thinking, what the fuck? It felt rigged because it was in Greece, and, like, Greece wins, but, you know, that's the thing about soccer, man. Crazy, crazy things happen. France could lose to Switzerland, Italy could lose to Austria, and then it's a crapshoot, you know? So big teams could get eliminated, and then you never know what might happen next.
Yeah, you got to watch out. I mean, I know you're not thinking much on Spain, but, you know, Spain used to be a powerhouse, so you got to watch out.
Yeah, of course. Spain is always dangerous. Like, you know, every team at this point is dangerous. It's a single elimination tournament at this point. You never know what's going to happen. That's sports, man. That is sports. I'll be watching the UFC tomorrow night. My man, Cyril Gane, taking on Alexander Volkov in the main event of the fight night. I've got Cyril Gane. I know we didn't do a show last night for our MMA fans. We will be back on Thursday night at 8 p.m. for more UFC talk. But we took the night off last night because it is a holiday here in the province of Quebec. It's Saint-Jean, and it was my son's birthday. So happy birthday to my boy, who's now 4. Amazing.
So I was doing the We the People kind of thing.
That's right. Very excited. Very excited. He got a cage and a Matt Riddle and Asuka. He got all sorts of cool wrestling shit and other shit for his birthday. So he had a good time. We had a nice time with the family. And yeah, and then he went to preschool today. And Daddy got Mario Golf for the Switch. So if you'll excuse me, John, I'm going to go play more golf. It's pretty fun.
Well, I saw the intro to that. The intro looks good. Yeah. I don't know if I played the whole game, though. Mm.
What are you playing on your Nintendo Switch these days?
Well, I just beat the second Leisure Suit Larry game that's on there.
All right.
And now I'm just playing the Legend of Zelda Age of Calamity expansion past the first wave.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
You still don't have Mario Kart?
No, I don't have Mario Kart. I think I only played Odyssey. I think that was it.
You got to get Mario Kart. Mario Kart is the best.
No, I played Odyssey, and I played Paper Mario. Paper Mario was pretty fun.
So there's a lot of games you have not played.
Well, I rarely play now. Like, you know, it's only once in a while kind of thing. So now it's going to the gym all the time now. You know, none of the gyms are open, so.
There you go. Well, good. That is good. Back to the gym, back to work, back to normal for Johnny North. Oh, Mako's saying 2004 Euro was in Portugal. Yeah, that's correct. I thought it was in Greece, but it's because the Olympics were in Greece at the same time. There was like a lot going on in Greece.
Right.
It was a big Greek fiesta, a lot of Greece action. Yes. All right. Thank you, everybody, for supporting the channel. A big shout out to Brian Firth, who is the Super Chat leader of the night. Thank you to Antoinette and Harold Schneider, and, of course, all of our members. Doug Hepburn, I see you as well. Thank you for becoming a member. Don't forget to click that join button right beneath this video. If you're watching on YouTube, click the join button right now. Become a member. Support this channel. If you like this video, if you like what we do here at the Ringside Report Network, join, become a member, and help us out. Help us continue to produce this great content for you. All right? It is what it is. Go to ringsidereport.net. Thank you for watching us. If you're watching on Twitch and Facebook and YouTube, we appreciate you. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to our channel on all the platforms, and, you know, keep enjoying what we do. I'll be back here Monday night at 11 p.m. right after Monday Night Raw.